Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Merry Christmas. We are back in action after the holiday season to review some NBA action, some fantasy basketball must adds, some players that you can probably go ahead and drop, and recapping all of the action on the Tuesday, the 26th in the NBA. Let's go!
Jordan open. Chicago with the lead. Bryant to Shaq.
Not a game. We talking about practice.
LeBron James with no regard for human life. Anything's possible.
Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang! Curry for three. Wow! Unbelievable. Making it rain in New York. We the North are now we the champions.
Not the destination.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter at Ball Boys Fantasy. And today, like we said in the intro there, we are going to be recapping all of the games on Tuesday, the 26th of December in the NBA. But also, there's a lot of going on in the NBA, a lot of lineup changes, a lot of young players stepping up, and a lot of players that I think we might need to move into that droppable zone. So a lot of must-add players, a lot of players that probably can be dropped as well. So we are going to get stuck into it. Just a disclaimer, I am recording this podcast in the middle of, or at the end of, the final game, which is the Clippers versus the Charlotte Hornets. That game has got about 4 minutes left to go at the time of recording, so anything that happens between, or in that final quarter, I did not see it, but we will be able to check the news when we get to that game. This podcast is normally coming out on a Wednesday night after the Wednesday games, but just due to the holidays and things going on, I am doing it a day earlier than I normally would, and then as of next week in January, we'll be back to our regular schedule, and this weekend we will be doing the week 11 preview and back into normality. But let's get stuck into today's games, starting with a big one, except that is not the screen, as people on YouTube, you are a bit confused there. All right, let's bring up the screen. Okay, here we go. So we've got the first game, which is the Brooklyn Nets versus the Detroit Pistons. The Brooklyn Nets beat the Detroit Pistons, and the Detroit Pistons now have officially the biggest losing record streak in NBA history with 27 straight losses. And it looked like at one point they might have been able to get the victory in this one. A big performance by Cade Cunningham, but fell short. We'll get to the Pistons soon. But let's talk first about the Brooklyn Nets. They got to a slowish start, and there were times where they looked pretty poor in this game. A couple of their starters, not the best games. Cam Johnson had a good one. He was decent in this game, 24 points, only 2 rebounds and an assist, 1 steal, but hit 4 threes, did it efficiently, missed a couple of free throws, had no turnovers. He is someone that I think is underrated sometimes when it comes to fantasy. Definitely so in category leagues. He's probably not as good in points leagues, but he was pretty decent in this one. I still think he is someone that needs to be rostered everywhere. In a category league, he is probably a buy-low candidate still. Mikal Bridges, let's talk about him, because he was going in the second rounds, and I've harped on this one a lot, and I think you guys get the picture now. He is going to be someone who's going to be a disappointment if you drafted him in the second round, and he is a slight buy low at this stage, but not really. The biggest thing here that is unreasonable to expect to continue is the 9 of 15 from the free throw line, which does absolutely kill you. But he is normally pretty good from that area. So the 21 points, if he hits another 3 or 4 free throws, 24, 25 points, with 4 rebounds, 3 assists, maybe he throws in a steal or a block in there every now and again. That's kind of what I expect from him moving forward. It's not super exciting. It's definitely not second round material. It's probably in the 40s, I think, is where he's going to end up this season in terms of rankings in a minus one sense. So that's where I expect him to be. So if you're buying low, expecting him to be a top 30, top 25 player, I think you might be needing to reevaluate that one. Let's talk Cam Thomas, because he only played 22 minutes in this one. And whilst he did at the four fouls, he was also kind of benched at the end of the game. They chose to go with, was it Dorian Finney-Smith, I believe, ahead of him to close the game out. He had his 17 points. He wasn't super inefficient, but also, like he does most games, didn't do anything else except for score. One assist, one rebound, no steals, no blocks, two turnovers. He didn't have a three in this game. It's not a very good fantasy line, or to be honest, at all, really. It's actually quite a bad one. 18 fantasy points in this game, and whilst I don't think he's a drop yet, he is someone that we probably do need to monitor, because I could foresee a scenario that, like, they beat the Pistons, but only just. It's not a reendorsement of how well this team is going. They are kind of struggling a bit more than I think they would like to be. And with some of the players like Johnson and other guys who have missed a bit of time in the past, I think with those guys a bit healthier now, I do believe they might potentially either move Cam Thomas or Spencer Dinwiddie to the bench in favor for one of those bigger wing guys in O'Neal or Dorian Finney-Smith. I can definitely see that, let alone if Ben Simmons ever comes back, which might not happen at this stage. But I do think that Cam Thomas, and even in a bench role, it could be okay, but just monitor the situation. I don't think he's a drop, don't get me wrong, but I do think we do need to monitor what's going to happen here with Cam Thomas, because he has been trending downwards after a red-hot start the season. And again, it's lines like this which just gives me the shits when it comes to Cam Thompson, and I think he is overrated, but still, obviously, something we hold on to for now. Nick Claxton was kind of outplayed a little bit by Dayron Sharpe in this one, who, you know, they both had 11-11 in terms of points and rebounds. Very similar stat line, to be honest. Four blocks for Sharpe, three blocks for Claxton. 26 minutes for Claxton, 21 for Sharpe. I don't think that's something we, you know, expect most nights. But it is interesting to see the fact that, you know, Nick Claxton has been a mild disappointment so far this season. I mean, the blocks have been there, but just not a lot of the other things that he might have been providing on the peripherals. But I think he'll be okay moving forward. Just prefer to see him have a bit more of a tight grip on that starting dominant, like 30-plus a minute a night role there. Horrible game here for Spencer Dinwiddie. 2 of 11 from the field. Missed 3 of his 8 free throws. 9, 5, and 6 on the counting stats. Had a steal. But yeah, just a pretty gross game for him. I think I would hold him, but he, especially in a category league, is not someone that in a 10-team league is in that must-hold category. There might be other guys out there you could do better with. I don't think I'd be adding any of the guys off the bench. Sharpe, Finney-Smith, O'Neal, Dennis Smith, who all played. I just think they're all kind of guys that are solid, but not anything spectacular. More 16-team, 14-team league, maybe for Dorian Finney-Smith. But for 12s and 10s, not something I'd worry about. Let's talk about the Detroit Pistons. Cade freaking Cunningham. I have always held firm in my belief in Cade Cunningham. I released my Dynasty rankings update for December, and the final one for 2023. And Cade Cunningham still sits just inside my top 15, firmly inside the top 20 for Dynasty rankings. And it's games like this which make me feel like I'm not crazy, and I still believe what I thought when he was drafted. 41 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists. He was 15 of 21 from the field, absolutely ultra efficient. 3 of 4 from 3, 80% from the line, a steal, a block, 3 turnovers for those keeping track. He was really, really good, and he had a huge, huge second half. In fact, I believe he might have had like 35 points of his 41 in the second half. I believe he also played the majority of the minutes in that second half as well. Finished with 36 in this game. Just a big, big game. Did everything he could to get the team the win, but fell short. The rest of this team is just shit, to be honest. I mean, I really love Jalen Duren. I love what he can do. 12 and 15 with 4 assists, a steal, and a block. It's great to have him back out there. Jaden Ivey has been up and down. He was okay in this one. 5 fouls might have been a limiting factor. He was they opted to go with Alec Burks down the stretch here, and he took one of the weirdest, you know, late game shots that I don't know why you wouldn't try and get it to Cade Cunningham's hand, but, you know, sure, Alec Burks, go and try and chuck up a shot. But I think he is probably more of a hold than someone like Isaiah Stewart, who's definitely more of a four-team kind of rebound specialist at this point. I don't know. Again, I say he played 35 minutes, and I say that's terrible, but at the same time, who are you playing over him? I mean, if it was me, it'd be Asar Thompson, who only played the 8 minutes. They are desperate trying to win. And when you are a rookie who can't really shoot and is a little bit turnover prone, as good as I think he is, in terms of winning basketball games right now, maybe you go with someone else, but I still, in terms of just the good of this future of the franchise, I'd still be playing Asar Thompson more than freaking 18 minutes. I mean, if you're playing Kevin Knox, 11, Marcus Sasser, James Wiseman, 12, like, I don't know why more minutes can't go to Asar Thompson in this situation. And they clearly just need to switch up this roster. They need more shooting. Isaiah Stewart is not the answer at power forward. But they don't have that many options, so I don't know what they're going to do. They've lost 27 games in a row. So down the stretch of the season, I don't think we need to worry about tanking and resting guys because they've already done their tanking. They're pretty safe at the top of the the draft picker tree there in terms of the lottery odds. So I think this team is going to try and continue to win games. And at the moment, I think that means limiting Asar. So if you have Asar Thompson, I think he is a drop. I was trying to hold on for as long as I can. He was in a buy low show a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago. But I have now lost patience and faith that that will be returning or changing anytime soon. While this team is still losing as much as they are, just for the franchise, the fan base, and the team morale, they need to win games. And a lot of the time, that means leaning more on the vets and not letting your rookies play quite as much. So Asar is someone that we will check back in maybe in a month or so and see how things are going. So for now, I think he's a drop, but keep him on your watch list. Bogdan Bogdanovic played well as well. He had 3 threes, 23 points, 3 rebounds and 2 assists. No steals or blocks. Typical Bojan line. He is a fine player to have on your fantasy team. That's about it for the Detroit Pistons. Wiseman played over Bagley, which is a choice. Alec Burks played 25 minutes. He was a team worst, negative 25. I don't know. We don't want to spend too long talking about the Detroit Pistons. Let's move on. Go to the Orlando Magic versus the Washington Wizards. The Wizards lost in this one to the Orlando Magic. And let's start by talking about the center rotation for the Orlando Magic because it is some wild shit. I don't know what to do with it. And in most cases, depending on your league and what's out there, I do think you probably, if you have Wendell Carter Jr., you might be able to go ahead and drop him. He had 6 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. He had a block. He had a 3. But he played 21 minutes. And the weirdest thing, and look, fine, we've seen timeshares and 3 center rotations before, but just the way they go about it to me is really strange. Wendell Carter Jr. played like the first 9 minutes of the game, or 8 or 9 minutes of the game or something like that. Then they brought in Mo Wagner, who played like a normal reserve minutes. And then instead of Wendell Carter coming back in, which most of the time a starter would, they then went to Goga Badadze to close out the first half. And they did the exact same thing in the third and fourth quarter. Well, in fact, Wendell Carter played the entire third quarter, all 12 minutes in a row. And then Mo played, 5 or 6 minutes in the fourth. And then they closed the game with Goga Badadze as the center. I don't really understand why, if you have a center playing the most amount of minutes in Wendell, he's the starter, but you're not wanting to close with him. I don't really get it. Something's got to give here, but I don't know what it's going to be, and I also don't know when it's going to happen. I do think eventually Wendell Carter gets himself to 27, 28 minutes a night, which is really back-end stuff and doable, but at the moment, he's not good enough to be worth holding on to. So I think in most cases, in 12, 10 teams especially, you can drop Wendell Carter and go add some of these other guys with better short-term value, maybe some more long-term value, and just sort of keep an eye on him in the meantime. He's in my industry pickup team. There's not too much on my waiver wire, so I might continue to hold him because I have the ability to stash him on my bench in a games cat format as well. But for most daily changes leagues where you're trying to use as many acquisitions as possible, I don't think I'd be holding on to Wendell Carter in 12s or 10s and maybe even 14s depending on what's on your waiver wire. Anthony Black probably had his best game as a pro. 23 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 4 threes. He was efficient. He had 4 steals. He had 5 turnovers. I don't think I'm getting too excited. We've seen him play big minutes before and not be very fantasy relevant at this stage. It is someone that now, rookies get better as they go along, and the more time Fultz misses, the less confident I am that he's going to come back in and just take this job away from him. He obviously was a high pick, Black was. So maybe he just stays in there and Fultz is someone they bring in slowly off the bench for a little while. I'm not too sure. So I'm putting Black on my watch list. You can add him in maybe a 16 or 14 team league if there's really not much else better on the wire. But in 12s, I'm not worrying about it just yet. Franz Wagner had a good game, 28, 8, and 9. He was efficient as well. Missed two free throws, but that's okay. A steal and a block, nice game. And Paolo kind of continued to do his thing with missed free throws. But 24, 3, and 8 with a steal and a block is pretty solid. In terms of the bench, Cole Anthony, 22 minutes. As soon as Fultz does come back, I think Cole Anthony will become a drop. But for now, I still think you hold on to him because he can do better than this. And this is at least serviceable back-end stuff in limited minutes. But when Fultz does come back, it will be complicated from there. The backup centers, I don't think you can trust. And I think I drop being basically all of the centers on the Orlando Magic. For the Wizards, Jordan Poole. First of all, I just want to give a shout-out to Noah Rubin for sending the ultimate rocket over to Jordan Poole by dropping him in the industry pickup league, because since then, he's turned it back around and he's starting to look really decent. He's been good. He had 30 points, 11 of 20 from the field, 6 threes, still only 2 free throw attempts in this one. Hit both of them. 3 steals is good, and his steals have been solid this year. And encouragingly, 32 minutes. If he was dropped in your league, I would 100% go and add him. He is someone that, obviously, I was wrong on having him as high as I did in the preseason, but this is more along the lines of what I potentially saw happening, with the exception of the free throw volume is still lacking. If that was 6 of 6 from the free throw line and he had 34 points, then that would be exactly the kind of nights I would expect to see from him on a regular basis in the preseason. Now, I don't think the free throw rate is coming back to where I think it is, but he definitely is someone that can be a top 90, top 80 guy in a punt field goal percentage. He could potentially reach that top 60 value from this point forward, if things have turned around and he is getting more of an opportunity, more shots. He had more field goal attempts than a Kyle Kuzma, which is encouraging. It is very encouraging, and did that in 3 fewer minutes. Speaking of Kyle Kuzma, 17, 4, and 6, he had a block as well, inefficient as he normally is from the field, 33%, but hit all 3 of his free throws, which is nice, and lots of turnovers, but that is the Kyle Kuzma experience. And 31 minutes for Gafford. Great, great game here. 13 and 13 with 3 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks, ultra efficient as he normally is. Of course, he is a must-roster player across the board, hopefully. Don't need to say that. Denny Avdija is one of those other players. He had 3 steals and a block in this one, but 23 minutes, kind of conceding minutes to Koulibaly, Kispert. Delon Wright was back in this one, and I think Avdija is a guy that if there is something better in your waiver wire around, you can go ahead and drop him. Definitely in a 12 team and maybe even in a 14 team league as well. He's not normally a big steals and blocks guy in this one, so 23 minutes, if that's going to be an ongoing thing, that's not going to cut it, and you can move on from him. Tyus Jones is keeping it going. 22, 6, and 6, a steal and a block, efficient. Great job. He's been really good recently, and you know, I managed to grab him in a league off the waiver wire, and it's been really good ever since. So that is that's been really, really nice. He might be a bit of a sell high at this stage, but with that said, the Wizards have been more predictable of late, and maybe this is the false hope that might make him a realistic sell high. If you can get someone who is, you know, top 70, top 65 value for a Tyus Jones, I think I would do it, because this team, the Washington Wizards, are just not one that I want to rely upon when it comes to fantasy basketball playoffs. Chances are you're not going to be able to do that, so for the most part, I think you write it out, but he's been much better as of late. Let's move on to the next game, the Minnesota Timberwolves.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Versus the Oklahoma City Thunder and the OKC Thunder. Get the W in this one. Let's start with the Timberwolves, as I am just bringing my notes up here. Where is this one? So the OKC Thunder win this one. It was a bit of a blowout in the end. Talking about the Timberwolves, Anthony Edwards, 25-7-6. Good counting stats. The poor free throw shooting returned this one, but he has increased that by nearly 10% so far this season. So I do think that that does improve. Mike Conley, the unsung hero, was again solid in this one. 5 threes, 2 steals, 17 points, 2 rebounds, and 4 assists. No turnovers. Great game from him. And Karl Anthony Towns didn't miss much time at all. He was back in this one, played 29 minutes, 16-6-1, had 5 turnovers, no defensive stats. So not the greatest game, but just good to have him back. And the fact that he didn't miss much time was a positive for those who had him. Rudy Gobert had a bad game, 10-5, no blocks, no steals. He was poor from the field. We'll give him a pass here. Apparently he only plays good when he versus the big boys in industry pickup. That's his time to shine. Jaden McDaniels is also a guy who is just disappointing when it comes to fantasy. I actually really like him as a real-life player, but 8-1-1, a steal and a block in 27 minutes. He had the 5 fouls, so and the game being a bit of a blowout, you'd expect his minutes to be a little bit higher, 30% from the field. He will be better than that, but probably not a must-have guy. Is probably more of a needs-based player in most scenarios. And I don't think we have to worry about Kyle Anderson or Naz Reid or any of those guys coming off the bench for the Timberwolves. I just don't think that they're worth the headache for the most part, with a lot of other guys putting their hands up to be ads. For the Thunder, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had another great game, although it was a poor game from the steals department. Only 2 in this game. Only 2 steals for Shai. He had a block, 34-6-9. Efficient as always. Great from the free throw line. Missed all his threes, and that's a pretty typical Shai line. Jalen Williams, 21-1-3 with 2 blocks, no steals. Solid. He has just been solid, I would say. Chet Holmgren, he's another guy that captured maybe the eyes of a few people when I put up my dynasty rankings in the little teaser. He was the number 7 ranked player in my dynasty rankings, and I fully stand by it. I think that he is someone that has first round value as soon as next season, and I just really, really rate him as an NBA talent. I had him number 1 in his draft class. His fantasy game is so friendly. He's scoring more than I expected in his rookie year. He's shooting better from the free throw line and shooting a better 3-point percentage and a higher volume of threes in his rookie year than I expected. And he's just as good of a rim protector as I expected. And he's just a really freaking good player and a cornerstone for this Thunder team for many years. So, yes, he is a top 7 Dynasty League guy, in my opinion. I've jumped him ahead of players like LaMelo Ball, Jason Tatum, because his game is just a bit friendlier and he is younger than those guys. So, yeah, I do stand by the fact that I think he's a top 7 Dynasty asset. And yeah, I don't know if you can really change my mind on that. Josh Giddey is showing some signs of life. 10 points, 2 rebounds, 7 assists. Nothing else. No steals, no blocks, no threes. 2 turnovers. He was efficient. It's not exciting. He's kind of in that assist streaming kind of position at the moment. Not a must-have. Like, if you were punting assists, for example, you don't need Josh Giddey. If your team is already good in assists, you don't need Josh Giddey. He's really one of those players that if your team is desperate for assists, you can have him on your team. He's back end, and I don't think it's getting much better this season. I still have hopes for him as a long-term dynasty player because he is still super young, and maybe the fit is weird right now and he still has to work on a few things. Maybe it's not on the OKC Thunder, but I still think he's a phenomenal passer. And the further we get away from the drama, if we are done with the drama off the court, and it doesn't turn into something else, again, I don't know. But the further we do get from that, if that is the case, I think that will help him mentally just turn a corner and improve from this season, which has been disappointing for him and for those who drafted him. Again, in terms of the bench guys, not a lot to see here. Isaiah Joe is always someone we look for 3-point streaming. He hit 2 in this one, but other than that, nothing really to write home about. Let's talk about the Atlanta Hawks and the Chicago Bulls. The Hawks just lose to the Chicago Bulls, the mighty Bulls here. The Atlanta Hawks are now 12-18 on the season, so struggling a little bit here, and I wouldn't be surprised if there maybe are some moves here. The good news is that Jalen Johnson returned, and he played 29 minutes. He had 10-9-4 with a steal. He was efficient from the field, so kind of picked up where we left off. Maybe some more defense stats will come along, but the fact that he played 29 minutes in his first game back is very encouraging. And I think, obviously, if he's available, go and add him immediately. And it is good to have him back. With him back, we still had no DeAndre Hunter, who didn't play this game. So Sadiq Bey, you know, still had 13 points, 2 threes, 8 rebounds, a steal, 100% from the free throw line, 50% from the field. That's fine. I don't think you're going to be able to sell high. I'd take any top 120 player for Sadiq Bey. Otherwise, he is probably someone that eventually will become a drop. If not already, if there's a better player out there, you can probably move on from Sadiq Bey because DeAndre Hunter is going to come back in and hurt him. And the other domino effect with Jalen Johnson returning is the fact that we basically saw, in fact, I think we saw no crossover between Clint Capella and Onyeka Okongwu. 26 minutes for Capella, 21 minutes for Okongwu. I think they did take the entire rotation there, except for maybe the last minute of the center rotation. Capella, 13-5-1 with the block. Okongwu, 11-6, no assists, but he had a steal, hit a 3. They're both kind of hurting each other a little bit, but I think we hold both, especially in category leagues and points league. You can drop Okongwu if this is going to be how it goes, if there's something better out there. But in a category league, for the most part, I'm holding both. In fact, I have both in industry pickup. I'm probably going to bench Okongwu for the most part if I don't need his, you know, efficiency and his rebounding, which I don't this week. So for the rest of my matchup this week, I'll be benching him. But for the most part, I do think you definitely need to hold on to him. Trae Young, 21-2. And 13 and a steal, but he had 6 turnovers, so he was terrible. No, joking aside, he was really good here and gave you exactly what you expect from Trae Young. And DeJounte Murray, 17-6-4, 2 steals and a block. He is continuing to be, I guess, just kind of where you drafted him. Nothing great, but nothing horrible either. Just kind of floating around where you drafted him, I think, which is fine. On to the Chicago Bulls. Let's talk about the big man. And I'm wearing my Chicago Bulls shirt, which I did get from Christmas as a present, which was very nice. But I'm representing it today because of the big man, Andre Drummond. And this is our first talk about a must-add player. Andre Drummond, go and add him. We had the news today fall through that Nikola Vucevic is out. He was out today. And it looks like he's getting some scans to see where the course of action is. So to me, reading between the lines, that means he's probably going to miss at least a number of games moving forward as a result of this. And I looked at my, you know, waivers, and I've got a few bids on him for in terms of fab in a lot of my leagues. But weirdly enough, he's available. He's picked up already in a few of my leagues. I don't know why. But he can do this. He is a per-minute beast. Now, don't get it twisted. I've had a few people mention that, okay, maybe he should be playing more minutes even when Vucevic comes back. He is not that good of a player. But 24 points, 25 rebounds, 3 steals, 2 blocks, 11 of 13 from the field. He hit both of his free throws, which is incredible. Monster game from him. Now, he can give you elite rebounds. He's actually a very good steals player for a big man as well, efficient from the field. And he can maybe give you a block or two on night to night. So, extremely great short-term pickup. Long-term, when Vucevic is back, he's going to walk back into that job. And they're not going to trade Vucevic in order to unleash Drummond or anything like that, I do not believe. But at the moment, absolutely must roster player across all formats. I don't care if you're not punting free throws. You go and grab this man because he can fill up the box score in a given minute. He had played 38 minutes in today's game. Now, I don't know if we can rely on that moving forward and have him playing 38 minutes, but they don't really have too much else to back him up unless, they played Taylor Terry? Is that his name? Anyway, he was the backup, basically the center guy, and he's like 6'7". So they don't really have too many bigs to back him up. So he kind of is forced into playing some decent minutes. Alex Caruso, knock on wood, he's had a few healthy games so far in the past week. So 11-5-5 with two steals. Poor from the field, only 20%, but hit all his free throws. So I am just happy that he's out there playing minutes and giving me some steals. DeRozan has been a roller coaster this season. He hit all seven of his free throws. He had 25, 2, and 6 with a steal. Solid, two threes. Not the best efficiency, but not the worst. He's taken a step back, definitely. He's getting older. So he's not the biggest of buy lows, I don't think, but he still has the ability to go off from time to time. 19-5-5 from Coby White. Poor from the free throw line. He'll be better than that. And this is sometimes what you're going to get from Coby White. Now, he has been amazing this season. If you could get him for a top 40, maybe the right top 50 player, I probably would do it. But outside of that, I do think he has the chance to be a top 60 or top 70 player this season because he has been absolutely awesome. He kind of is the future of their team because they don't have much else of a future. Speaking of not much of a future, Patrick Williams has been decent recently, but this game he sucked. 6 points, 1 rebound, 1 steal, 2 of 7, and played the 25 minutes. He's a hold if you can, but again, if there's a few hot free agents out there, I do think he is in that cut zone because his upside just isn't all that high. I'm not racing out to grab Ayo Dosunmu, who had 19.7 rebounds, 4 assists, and 3 steals. You can grab him in a 14 or a 16 team league if he's available. In a 12, he's more of a stream, I believe, in the most part. And remember, we are getting closer to the fact that LaVine will be coming back, but there's a lot to play out with this Chicago Bulls team who don't really know what they're going to do when it comes to trades and things like that. We are kind of guessing with all that sort of stuff. Let's talk about the Indiana Pacers and the Houston Rockets. Tyrese Haliburton, 33-6-10, had a steal, 7 threes, misses only free throw, which is kind of lame, but other than that, obviously an amazing, amazing performance. He, again, if you were on Twitter, he showed up at number 2 on my Dynasty rankings. I've got him one above Shea just because now Shea is having a better season in terms of fantasy this season, and I have Shea ahead of Tyrese for the rest of this season in my, you know, rankings. But Tyrese is a little bit younger, and I also rely more or can trust the big volume threes and assists that Tyrese can provide me more so than the steals and blocks that Shea can provide me. That's what I've just done to split the hairs a little bit between the two, but I do think those two guys are clearly top three Dynasty players. But that, if you did see that and were wondering, that is the reason why I've got Tyrese ahead of Shea in Dynasty and Shea ahead of Tyrese ahead in Redraft, which is a weird thing to say. They started Jalen Smith at power forward in this game. He, I think, went to the locker room at one point, but did come back. 22 minutes, 12 and 8. If he is a regular power forward starting player, you could do worse in adding him in like a 14-team league as a rebound blocks guy. He's got a friendly fantasy game, which is what tricked me into being high on him last season. And if he's going to play the minutes that Obi Toppin was playing previously, that might render him at least a back-end serviceable player for Fantasy League. So he is kind of in that maybe add zone, especially in 14 or deeper leagues if you are looking for rebounds and blocks. I'm not rushing out to grab Andrew Nembhard just yet, but I'm keeping an eye on him. 11-2-6. He's not usually a big assist player because, again, you're playing next to Tyrese Haliburton. So not the most use going through you, but the fact that they didn't play TJ McConnell in this one at all means that obviously he did spend a lot of time running the game himself. And this team, as we've spoken about with McConnell before, is set up for those point guards to thrive and get a lot of assists. So he is at least on a watch list in a 16-team league. You can definitely add him. And for 14s, maybe, he might be a speculative add. 12s, I'm just watching at this stage. Buddy Hield, let's talk about him. He moved to the bench in this one. Still played 33 minutes. It was a close game. He had 3 threes, 11, 5, and 5. He went off when he went to the starting lineup after being in the bench to start the year. He was terrible on the bench before. So if he's staying in the bench, he is, again, in that droppable zone, I do believe. If there is a hot free agent out there, like we're going to talk about in the team that they versed, he is someone that you need to look at your team and decide, is he one of my worst players? Is this a guy that I can replace with something better? Sometimes that answer will be yes, sometimes that will be no, but we need to at least ask the question. So 11-5-5 with three threes is fine, it's okay, but it might not always be there, and, you know, this minutes fluctuation can swing wildly game to game with, you know, players like Mathurin playing 24 minutes. You know, maybe they do play a bit bigger with Turner only getting 23 minutes with five fouls. I mean, there's a lot of different things that can go on. TJ McConnell could re-enter the rotation in this one. It's really hard to pin down a rotation consistent night to night for the Pacers. So let's just watch Buddy Hield, and I wouldn't consider him undroppable in a lot of scenarios. Not too much else to discuss in this one. Aaron Nesmith, 10-5-2. He's an okay-ish guy to have in 14-team leagues, but not all that exciting. Obi Toppin obviously is a drop, and I'm not getting excited about Isaiah Jackson, despite having 11-8-3 blocks, 19 minutes. I do think he played more because of the foul trouble to a Miles Turner, limiting his minutes to 23. So his minutes will more than likely be closer to sort of 12-ish, I do believe, and I don't think he's good enough to put up stats in that time. Talk about the Houston Rockets, and let's start by talking about one of the biggest must-adds of the day, and that is Tari Eason. Pause this video if you haven't added him yet and he's available in your roster and your league. Go and add him right now, because Dylan Brooks left this game with an oblique strain. Now, very vague. Obviously, they're going to have scans and things like that, but it does sound like he's going to miss some time here. A strained muscle, depending on the severity. Grade 1, you're looking at about 2 weeks. Grade 2, you're looking at maybe 4 to 6 weeks. Grade 3, you're looking at 2 to 3 months plus. So we don't know the severity of the strain. So we'll just sort of wait and see how things go. But Tari Eason had been trending up anyway, and with this news, it wouldn't surprise me if he goes into the starting lineup. They also really limited Jalen Green, who played 19 minutes. So there's a number of avenues for a player like Tari Eason to get into the starting lineup and thrive. So he is an absolute must-add player. Pause this video, go add him, come back, hit play. Let's talk about the other guys. Let's talk about Amen Thompson. Now, he didn't play much, 12 minutes, but he also had 7, 4, and 2 steals. He was efficient, 3 of 5. And in deep leagues, and I will specify this as deep leagues, 16 or deeper, with Jalen Green's minutes being limited and them not trusting him, with Dylan Brooks' injury, and just with how much I believe in Thompson's talent, in a deep league, I would be taking a flyer and trying to get ahead of the curve, and I would be adding Amen Thompson in 16 or deeper. You could try it in a 14. In a 12, I think it's too early. He's definitely just a watch list player, because even if he goes from 12 minutes to sort of 18 to 20, it's probably still not quite enough. But he is a player that I am so, so high on, both the twins. But Amen, I do have higher in my dynasty rankings. He has a higher ceiling. Now, he's a little bit behind players like Fred VanVleet, who played 39 minutes, but if we can get him up to that low to mid-20s in minutes, he can have fantasy appeal for standard leagues. He's not there yet, but definitely someone to keep an eye on, depending on what this Brooks injury is, and if they continue to limit a player like Jalen Green, because I do believe Amen Thompson has a much higher ceiling than a Jalen Green. He, I believe, is probably their most valuable. Maybe he and Şengün, one of the two, is their most valuable asset, basically talent in the roster, and I do believe that at some point this season he is going to be more quote-unquote unleashed. Now, to what degree is that? Is that a 30 minute a night? Probably not this season, but it is a mid-20s. That might be enough for Amen Thompson, so he's definitely someone he's on my watch list. Let's talk about Şengün, because he had a great game. He was kind of, you know, he was doing okay, but trending down-ish. But more recently, he's been awesome. 30 points, 16 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals. But the biggest thing I want to highlight in this game here is the fact that he went 8 of 9 from the free throw line. And this is not an isolated thing. He has been putting up some much better free throw shooting numbers over the past few games. And if he can make that a strength of his game, That is that's a huge game changer for Alperen Şengün, because that was his biggest, if you talk about minus one rankings, that was the category that was falling off when you go to rank him. And if you're able to turn that into a strength of his, well, then you're looking at someone who, we talk about someone like a Domantas Sabonis. If Sabonis shooting free throws, then Şengün is that guy, but he's a better steals and probably a better blocks player. So this again, I'm talking very hypothetically, if he turns into like an 80% from the free throw line guy and continues the trajectory that he's going to be on, top 12 numbers are in his future on a year-to-year basis. But if I have a look at over the last 2 weeks, he's averaging 6.5 free throw attempts per game and he's hitting them at 84.6% for that time. On the season, he's at 71.3. So it's a little bit early for me to come out and say that he's a great free throw shooter, but on the last three games, he had 9 free throw attempts today, 17 free throw attempts the game before, and hit them at 82.4%, which is great. 5 the game before, hit all of them, didn't have any the game before. 2, 6, 7, with 100% with 7 attempts on that game against Memphis. So the things are trending in the right direction. Now, I'm going to need a bigger sample size, but I just wanted to highlight that if that does become a strength of his, that is huge for his fantasy value. Definitely something for dynasty rankings we need to be taking note of, because if that does become a thing, top, you know, first round value can definitely follow. Fred VanVleet is still playing huge minutes, 18-4-9, 2 steals and a block. He continues doing typical Fred VanVleet things. Jabari Smith, 10-6, missed all 5 of his threes, had a steal and a block. He still is a back end guy, but I definitely do believe he is a hold for the most part. Not too much else to talk about. I do think, talking about Jalen Green, who we kind of glossed over, I think he's a drop. I think he's a drop everywhere, essentially. 10s, 12s, maybe 14s, 10s, points, you can drop him, 12s, points, I'd drop him for Tari Eason. I know I'd do that. I'd drop him it would depend, right? So in a points league, he's obviously more valuable, but he is at rock bottom right now. I was never a big fan of his game to begin with, so keep that in mind. I was never a guy that really loved Jalen Green and what he did, both from a real NBA point of view and a fantasy point of view, so I'm a bit of a skeptic when it comes to Jalen Green, and so far I think I've been proven right. He's been very disappointing in this season, and I don't think it's really going to happen for him in terms of that superstar outcome. He can definitely be better than this, but when you're playing 19 minutes in a game where they only lose by 6 points, it's not a very good sign. He was a negative 19 for this team. Not good signs for Jalen Green. Let's move along. Memphis Grizzlies got the win in overtime. 1-point victory over the Pelicans, 116-115. And Ja Morant has played 3 games and he's won 3 games. 31-5-7, 1 steal, 2 blocks. He had 6 turnovers. This is the Ja Morant special. Maybe the defensive stats are a little out of character, but this is what we expect from him. Now, he is a better points league guy, clearly. I think he's a first-round Yahoo points league guy, and he can definitely continue to do that. So treat him as such. In category leagues, his value is a little bit all over the place depending on how you view him. He's a guy who's going to give you nearly 30 points, nearly 8 assists, close to a steal. He might get you a 3. He's going to have high turnovers.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Poor free throw, decent field goal percentage, so he's useful. I think that he's really good. So I think sometimes the rankings on Yahoo sites and 9 category things undersell his value. I would be treating him in a category minus one setting as a top 50, more probably like a top 40 player, I believe, because of the value of his points and assists, which are just extremely hard to replicate. And on any given night, he can give you these steal and block numbers, which we know are quite variable game to game. So I think that in a minus one setting for head-to-head leagues, he should be viewed as a top 40 player. Not higher than that, not top 20, but top 40, I think is a reasonable place to have him. Desmond Bane, let's talk about him. Now, I've heard a few things around the place to say that Ja Morant coming back is actually going to help Desmond Bane. And he had a really good game here. 27, 4, and 7, hit 5 threes, no steals, but he had a block, one turnover, and that's all good. 40 minutes. He's going to be good. But if you are in a league with someone who thinks that Desmond Bane is going to be better, then now that Ja Morant is back, I would, or if you have him and you, other people are thinking that, I would be trying to sell high because I think that, there's no way that from a fantasy point of view is accurate. He is someone who is a good three-point shooter and his efficiency might improve. He is currently averaging for the season 46.3% from the field. Last year, he put up 47.9%. So that can come up from 46, maybe closer to 48% from the field, which is great. The usage, though, I do believe has to come down. Morant's going to take more shots. There's no way you can argue to me that I'm going to listen, really, that he's going to continue to put up as many shots as he has been when Morant was out. That's got to come down. Now, he had 7 assists in this game, but Marcus Smart also returned. So I do believe that Desmond Bane's assists are a little bit unrealistic to expect to continue to hold. He's averaged 5.3 for the season. Last year, he averaged 4.4. That was without Marcus Smart there. So I think he's more of a 4 assists per game guy rather than a 5.5 assists per game guy. So I think that comes down. The rest of it is all sustainable. You know, the threes, the steals, the rebounds, the efficiency, it's all good. The turnovers might come down as well from 2.9. He was at 2.2 last year. So that might come down. His ranking might look better. But I think he's probably more of a top 40 player when it comes to minus one rankings. You know, similar kind of range to Ja Morant. They both get there very differently. But if you can get a top 25, top 20 player for Desmond Bane, 100% I would do it because I just don't buy into that narrative of Ja Morant coming in and freeing him up, which I've heard people say, and helping him. It might help them as a team, definitely. It'll help them as a team, but for him and his fantasy value and use for your fantasy team, I do believe that it is a net negative. That's a lot of talk on Desmond Bane. Jaren Jackson Jr. was okay here. No threes, but 90% from the free throw line helps. Only the one block, but solid. Marcus Smart returned, like we did mention, 29 minutes in his return and 5 steals, if you don't mind. That is very welcome back for Marcus Smart. If he's obviously available, you 100% go and scoop him up immediately. 40% from the field, 3, 1, and 3. That's kind of what you're expecting from Marcus Smart. He can be a top 100 minus one player. And the rest of this team, I don't know really what to do. Bismack started at center, but played 24 minutes, had 2 blocks and 7 rebounds. But you also had 27 minutes for Xavier Tillman, who had 5 blocks and a steal in this game. Vince Williams was the guy who closed the game, 27 minutes, 3 blocks and a steal. He's probably the most reliable, I think, of these guys. I actually think he's probably the best when it comes to real-life value for this Grizzlies team. And I think that if I was coaching the team, he'd be the one closing at the 4 with Jaren at the 5. And that's what we saw in this game, I believe. But from a fantasy point of view, it's not super sexy. He's a 14-team maybe guy, 16-team definitely, but I wouldn't worry about any of those guys in a 12-team league outside of streaming for the most part. The same goes for Santi Aldama, who only had the 8 minutes in this game. Talking about the Pelicans, and bloody hell, Brandon Ingram had a big game. Now, he had 24, 6, and 7. He can do that all the time. But it's the 3 steals, 4 blocks that he had, which are both season highs, and he did them both in the same game. He had 3 steals and 2 blocks in the first half. If you are someone firsting me in industry pickup, count your lucky freaking stars that you got this out of him because he is not a defensive stat guy. But, you know, 7 stocks in this one from Brandon Ingram. Great game. It'll probably be another 12 months before he does that ever again, if he ever does. But that was a solid one for him. Zion Williamson, 35 minutes, 23 and 11 with 1 assist and 1 steal. Field goal percentage is down. Free throw percentage, 3 misses kind of hurts as well. So a little bit disappointed. Let's talk about Herb Jones. I've had a lot of people ask me if he's a drop. The answer is yes, absolutely, in a points league. In a category league, it can still be a yes, but it depends. Do you need steals? Do you need blocks? For example, in the industry pickup league that I'm in, if Herb Jones was dropped, my team, I would immediately go and add him because that is what my team needs. It is often the deciding factor in a lot of my matchups. Plus, I need a small forward eligible player to back up Scotty Barnes. In my, let's say, for example, if he was dropped in, what's a different league that I have? If he was dropped in my fantasy basketball World Cup team where I'm punting assists and steals, then no, I would not be dropping. I'd not be adding Herb Jones, and if he was on my team, I would have dropped him. And he was dropped in that league. Someone else did pick him up, but it's very team dependent. Now, this is obviously a bad game. One steal, 4-3-3 is not good. But he can still, on the next game, go off for 3 steals, 2 blocks, have 5 assists. The scoring is probably not going to come back all that much, but he still played 31 minutes, and he managed to do that with Trey Murphy playing 35. And I think that that is, now it's an overtime game, but I still think that that kind of minute split is doable for this team. They can play those top 6 guys 30-ish minutes each with the rest of the lineup, Dyson Daniels, Alvarado, Najee Marshall, all being lower in minutes, and just have a very top-heavy top 6 or 7 players because that's what this team is built up to be. And I don't think anyone really has to lose out from a minutes point of view. And Herb Jones is not someone that, you know, gets his fantasy value with usage. He needs the minutes for the steals and blocks. Sometimes they're there, sometimes they're not. So I think he'll be better than this. Slight buy low in the right circumstance, but understand that it's specific to what you're looking for. Valanciunas 17-13, a steal and a block. He's been way better than I thought. And obviously Larry Nance being not really healthy this season or maybe ever again really helps him. And I think he can continue to do this. Let's move on to the Utah Jazz and the San Antonio Spurs. The Spurs lost this one. Utah 130-118. Spurs, Larry Markkanen 31-12 and a steal, 2 assists. He was great. Colin Sexton continued to put up numbers and continued to start with Jordan Clarkson and Keontae George both coming back. So that's fine, but that might very quickly change. He shot 80% from the field in this one. Let's not expect that to continue. So this is a good line, but just keep in mind that if, you know, Tari Eason or Andre Drummond even were out there on the waiver wire, I would 100% be going to add those guys. And I'd be fine dropping Colin Sexton because I do not expect this to continue as soon as these guys get back up to speed and as soon as he doesn't shoot 80% from the field. If that's 40% from the field, you know, he loses 6 points or something like that and goes down to 14-3-6. And those minutes might come down as well when these guys, Keontae George and Clarkson, come up to speed a bit more. Kelly Olynyk started. He was okay, but I'm not too concerned. John Collins is a guy that is very eh at this stage. If Atari Eason was available and John Collins was realistic, your worst player, I'd be okay dropping John Collins to get Atari Eason. For the most part, I expect that he's not your worst player. And if the minutes come up, he can still be useful, but he's definitely not been the sleeper that I thought he maybe could be this season. He's just been whatever at this stage. Chris Dunn, 18 minutes. Keontae George is back now. We don't need to worry about him. Keontae George, obviously, we said, is back. Talked about, and I'm going to talk about the other guy later. Someone asked me about Scoot versus Keontae. I think they both need to be rostered. Keontae, I think, maybe has a friendlier category league game because of the fact that he can shoot the 3-ball a little bit more. He's not as, his fantasy game might be a little bit more friendly just by the nature of that 3-ball. He's probably not as good of an assist guy as Scoot naturally is. So I think there can be similar, but he, to me, is still someone that needs to be rostered, especially if you can handle his deficiencies in turnovers and field goal percentage. He's not going to be a huge steals and blocks guy, but he can be solid, and it's good to see him back. 24 minutes is a nice sort of level of playing time for him to come back to. Jordan Clarkson, 24-6-8. Again, 8-8 from the free throw line. Great. He is someone that you can add. Knowing the fact that he does have his weaknesses, he can be hot or cold any given night, but he will get shots, I believe, on this team. And Walker Kessler is still on the bench. Don't know what this Utah Jazz team is doing, but 11-7 with 4 blocks, 50% from the field is solid. He had a 3. Cool. Let's yoo-hoo. You got a 3 from Walker Kessler. I don't know what's going on there, but he is still someone who's been frustrating, but I do believe is a must-roster player at this stage. No one else, I believe, on this roster we do need to talk about much at all. Let's talk about the San Antonio Spurs, and they also made a lineup change. Julian Champagny moved into the starting lineup. Now, he is another guy that I think you can go out and add Julian Champagne. In fact, I would, you know, we talked about Colin Sexton. I'd be willing to drop Colin Sexton to have a punt on someone like Champagne. He had 24 minutes in this game, but he also had 5 personal fouls. So who's to say that wouldn't have been higher? 16-5-1 with 2 steals and a block. He's a good per minute stat guy who we've always loved in deeper dynasty leagues, and the fact that he's getting decent minutes and moved to the starting lineup over someone like a Keldon Johnson, who did played 29 minutes. So good minutes from him here. He played well, 26, 4, and 3. Not, you know, much else steals and blocks wise, but he was good. You know, Zach Collins on the bench here. Wemby playing a smaller role because they were blown out a little bit in this one. So Julian Champagne, if he was to play 28 minutes a night, he'd be a 12-team guy, must roster 100%. Now, he started the last two games. Both games played minutes in the low 20s. This game, at least the fouls were an issue for that. But I think that I'd be prioritizing Tari Eason over him. I'm much more confident in Drummond's short-term value than a Champagne. But a Champagne might have a longer rest of season value than a Drummond. I'm less confident in it, but if you are looking for a player that is available in a lot of places that could have some sneaky, sneaky value for the rest of the season, then Julian Champagne is definitely that guy, and I have made some bids on him in a lot of my leagues. I'm not giving up too much fab because this Spurs team is experimenting a lot, but he is a really good per-minute guy, and I would potentially be looking to add him off the waiver wire. Jeremy Sochan, 19, 5, and 3. No steals, no blocks. It's a solid game. Shot efficiently. I would much prefer if the steals and blocks were there. He is okay to have, but you don't have to go and add him if he's there. I'm more interested in Champagne, to be honest, than a Sochan. But again, the minutes, I think, should be there for the rest of the season. So in a points league especially, you can have him. Devin Vassell was good in this game, 22, 4, and 3. Not super efficient, but had 5 threes and 3 steals. That's what we like to see from him. Wemby, you know, he had a down game, but far out. A steal and 5 blocks and a 3, you know, that's a pretty good down game if you ask me. And I'm not worried about his minutes or being rested or anything like that down the stretch of the season. Like, they're going to, you know, when they don't have to push him, they're not going to. But I still think he's going to be fine. And I stand by the fact that in 2024, he'll be a first-round player from that part of the season onwards. And I do still think that will be the case. You can go ahead and drop Zach Collins, who returned to the bench, 17 minutes, 6, 4, and 4 with 2 blocks. 2 blocks is fine, but don't need to have him. And you also don't need to have Trey Jones, who is an assist and steal streamer. 26 minutes is solid, but a little bit misleading here with the stat line being a bit of a blowout. Let's go to the Sacramento Kings versus the Portland Trailblazers. The Kings, not really a blowout, but in the end, the scoreline reflects a decent beating here from the Trailblazers, 130 to 113. De'Aaron Fox, 43, 8, and 4, 2 steals and a block. Great game from him. He and Sabonis, 34, 12, and 5, were really the only ones that showed up for this game. The rest of the Kings just didn't do a whole lot. Of the rest of the team, Keegan Murray is the guy that I have the most confidence in, but he obviously sucked in this game, and I do think sometimes people get very excited about him. I don't know, Kings fans, Toronto fans, you guys are battling it out for, I think, the most passionate fan base I see, at least on Twitter, for the most part, because there's a lot of you that I see on my timeline, and look, I like Keegan Murray, he's okay, but I don't know, we get a bit ahead of ourselves sometimes after you had that, what do you have, 12 threes in that game, which is awesome, mind you, great game, but again, this is the flip side of it. So he still is a must-have guy, I do believe, but this was obviously a poor performance. The only other guy that I'd really want on my roster is Malik Monk, but the fact he only played 18 minutes in this game is a bit concerning to me. So again, if there's a guy like Tari Eason, a guy like Julian Champagne, Andre Drummond, I'd be okay, depending on what you need. If he is your worst player, I do think it's okay to move on from Malik Monk. He can be good and probably will have back-end value for the rest of the season, but it might not continue that way. They do have a lot of other guys that can fill a similar role with Duarte, Herder, Harrison Barnes, Vezenkov, Davion Mitchell. There's a few of those just guys around this team. And I think Monk's the best of them, but I don't know. It's not high upside kind of stuff. Trail Blazers, let's talk about them. And let's talk Scoot Henderson. The time was probably a couple of weeks ago or a few weeks ago, but if you haven't added Scoot Henderson and he's available in your league waiver wire, go and add him right now. 17 points, 1 rebound, 11 assists. He hit a 3. He was inefficient still, 6 of 15, which is not a killer, but he hit all 4 of his 3 throws and only 1 turnover for you turnover nuts out there. I think that this was his best game from a real-life point of view by far. He did all of this in non-garbage time minutes. He played 28 minutes and came out, I think, with about, 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And I wonder if he would have gone back into the game if it was closer and if he would have closed out in a more crunch time situation. Very interesting to see if they get into that situation and the next time if he does boost those minutes up. But 28 minutes is definitely good for him. And I do see the improvement coming. He's passing the eye test to me. And he is looking more and more like the player that I thought he would be this season as of recently. So especially 100% in the points league, you go and add him immediately, and I do think he's a must roster basically in all category leagues as well. There will be ups and downs still. This is not going to be just every game from now on, and he still has some holes in his fantasy game. Like, his steals and block numbers have not been very high. The rebounds have just been average, below average at best, and the threes won't be great, and he still will be inefficient. He's a rookie at the end of the day, but the confidence is growing. You can definitely see him getting more comfortable on the NBA court. As for the rest of this team, there was no DeAndre Ayton, so they started Moses Brown, who only played 14 minutes, but Duop Reith was the guy that really shone in this one. 32 points, 25, 9, a steal, and a block. I don't really know how long Ayton is out for, but you could stream Reith in this one moving forward. I do think that he is a solid player. He played really well and looked really good in this game. Down the list of my priorities, however. Another streamer you can get is Matisse Thybulle, played 26 minutes. I think he's maybe the guy that's going to lose a lot of minutes if Scoot does start to play more, as well as maybe a Malcolm Brogdon, who played 29 in this game. But still 19, 5, and 6, that is going to get it done enough, at least for now. Jeremy Grant, not the best game. 13, 2, and 2 with one block. The worrying thing here is that he was actually efficient, and the usage was just down, and he wasn't really doing a whole lot. He is someone that I think is going to end up being a disappointing player at the end of the fantasy seasons, and don't really know if he's much of a buy low. Anthony Simons, 29, 4, and 3, had 5 threes. He didn't get to the free throw line, and this is the biggest thing for me with Simons, is for him to be successful, like a Jordan Poole, he needs to get to the free throw line and hit them at a high rate. He can hit threes, he can get you some assists and score decently, but he's a very poor rebounder. He will not block a single shot. His steals are pretty low, so he needs that free throw volume and high percentage to really be that kind of top 60, top 50 guy that I think people were hoping for him to be. So we'll have to wait and see how that goes. But overall, biggest message from this one here is add Scoot Henderson if he's available. The last game here, which should be finished now, the Charlotte Hornets versus the Clippers. The Clippers get the win in this one. We had no Kawhi Leonard for the Clippers, but they still managed to win. And we also shockingly had no Mark Williams, who was ruled out of this game, which the doubtful tag of the Charlotte Hornets is just horrible, horrible, horrible malpractice, really. Miles Bridges, 21, 11, and 5 with two blocks. That's pretty good. Terry Rozier, he's starting to cool off a little bit here, and that sell high window is probably shut now. 18, 4, and 7. He had 1-3, only 1 of 8 from the 3-point line, 8 of 23 from the field, which is gross, and also missed 2 free throws and 4 turnovers. Not his best game. Nick Richards was solid again, 13, 10, and 2 with a block. He is still fine to roll out there while Mark Williams is out, which, again, I don't know how long that's going to be. Gordon Hayward left this game. I think it was a calf injury. And when you talk about Gordon Hayward and calves, it does not it doesn't sound good. So we'll watch this one. He might miss some time with this, I do believe. So, you know, Miller was out of this one, so he might slot back in and take that one. They also started Bryce McGowan's in Miller's place. So if they continue to do that, or maybe get PJ Washington in on the mix as well, yet to be seen. But I think the players that will benefit the most here are Brandon Miller and maybe a PJ Washington, I think, are probably the main beneficiaries. So I do believe both of those guys are guys you want to have on your roster if they are floating around on the waiver wires out there somewhere. For the Clippers, it's kind of much of the same that we've been seeing recently. Not the best game from Paul George, 24, 4, and 4, but bad efficiency. Had 5 threes, but no defensive stats. Zubac continues to kind of get it done. He's definitely separated himself from Daniel Tice. 18 and 14 with a block and a steal. 7-11 from the field. Poor from the free throw line, but you'll live with that. And the rest, it's just not really useful. We should talk about Russell Westbrook, who played 27 minutes in this one. And I can't, was it Josh that said this? I can't remember. But someone pointed it out that when Kawhi Leonard got injured, Westbrook minutes went up. When Paul George was out a week or so ago, his minutes stayed in the low 20s. So that is really interesting. The fact that Kawhi, and I'd imagine the same thing would happen if James Harden ever went down. But Russell Westbrook's minutes has been up. He was pretty good in this one, 14, 11, and 6, with 2 steals and a block, 2 threes, and he was efficient from the field. That's a great line. So you can add him for the short term if you expect Kawhi Leonard to miss more time. I don't know if he's going to miss much more time from here, but in a points league, you can definitely add. In a category league, I'm a little bit hesitant to invest. I'd definitely rather go with the Julian Champagnes, the Tari Eason's, the Andre Drummond, I'd probably still even rather over a Russell Westbrook. Those kind of players I'd be prioritizing ahead of him, but if he's there for a short-term ad, if we get news that Leonard's going to miss some more time, then he can definitely have some value. The rest of this team is just crap, really. Norm Powell can sometimes be a streamer, but he was pretty bad in this one, and the usage wasn't all that high, so I probably think there's a lot of better options out there for the most part. So, that will do it for that game. Well, that will do it for all the games as well there, guys. So a lot of must-add players and a lot of drops, I do believe, out there. Let me know down in the comments section below, what did you get for Christmas? Let me know how your Christmas was and if you're doing anything exciting for New Year's Eve and how your fantasy is going. Drop your fantasy comments and questions down below as well. And make sure if you did enjoy this one, give it a big old thumbs up over on the YouTube. Hit subscribe. Give us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify and subscribe over there. And I'll see you guys next time. Bye.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.